This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
The biz.
It is time for the biz. Welcome everyone. Good to see you guys today. We have Chad and Rizzo with me today, and we are going to be discussing some pretty fun topics today. We went over this earlier, me and Rizzo and Chad, and we got the first topic today being the NA regional that just happened. The first half of it. Yeah. So the playoffs are this weekend. You guys can watch that twitch.tv/Rocket League. And I forgot the other, the B stream. I don't, are they even doing a B stream for it?
For the second half of it?
Yeah.
Playoffs? Yeah, they'll be B stream games for that.
Okay.
So yeah, they're still like, it's still the rest of the bracket in there.
Yeah, we got to get the B stream some love, chat, because I think Rizzo literally had double the B stream's viewers. So Rizzo was basically that. The B stream. So
my watch party was the B stream.
Yeah. So yeah, but anyway, we have some cool stuff to talk about with the regionals. Mainly, the reason we're bringing it up is because there is some drama related to last week that kind of transitions over to now. If you guys remember from last episode, we briefly discussed the NA versus EU rivalry little thing. We talked about Reddles, we talked about Scrub, we talked about all those little shenanigans on Twitter. And before we get too into it, let's just talk about the regionals, talk about how it went, and then we can, that way we can give you guys the info on it, and then we'll discuss what happened afterwards. So firstly, the regional happened on Saturday, was the first day. On the first day, most of the teams made it through. Envy and G2 made it through, and they didn't have to play the next day. I'm talking about specifically the top four right now. NRG and SSG, both of us fell to the lower bracket round one. SSG lost to Rogue, was it? No, V1. They lost to V1, mm-hmm. And we lost to
Ghost.
Dude. Oh, yeah, Ghost. Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, I almost forgot that. Not going to lie. So, two of the top NA teams falling early. Not a good showing for NA in terms of the NA versus EU rivalry at all there. And, let's just go into that right now. Let's talk about, I don't know if you saw, Chad saw all this stuff either, but I just wanted to kind of express
Okay, to be fair about the whole NA versus EU thing, this is specifically Reddles.
It is, yeah.
This is Reddles about all the shit he talked last week, and then he lost to V1, and then people, I don't remember who it was specifically, I think it was like, it was somebody on BDS, I think it was Extra, maybe. But regardless, they were just like, maybe you should be focusing on your own region or something like that. And Reddles used it as like an excuse to be, or an excuse or whatever. Maybe he took a shot as just saying, oh, that just proves how much depth an NA actually has. Like just five-heading it, you know? He was just like, well, actually, we lost because all the teams are good at NA. Whereas nobody can beat BDS, so he kind of like switched it back on. I was like, well, I guess it kind of makes sense.
they literally lost. I literally tweeted it saying like, this man has full confidence, like tweeting after that, like straight after the L, just talking about, EU still worse, even though we lost. He didn't even care.
He
tweeted something along the lines of like, we dropped the series, like shouldn't have played like EU basically.
Yeah, I can read it right here. His tweet, after he loses. Wait. Oh, wait, my bad. No, that's the wrong one. Oh, here it is. GG's V1 can't perform like EU and expect to beat NA teams. Lower bracket starts tomorrow.
Yep. So
that's what we were talking about. This is the trash talk we were talking about last week. Like, that's exactly what we need to see, you know?
I mean, he's still confident in his trash talk, I guess. Probably took a little bit of a hit, but
yeah. So I mean, that's basically summarizing it. Reddles, you know, going full haywire mode. Energy SG fell early on in the bracket. Let's talk about what this means for the rest of the tournament. You know, because that means that there's going to be a pretty nutty matchup early on in the playoffs. I think we might play you or
So the way Energy and SSG losing affects like us, I guess, as G2, is if we lose our next match, which is versus United, we're in quarters. If we lose versus United, we go straight into Energy, which is for a top 12 spot, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
It's not even like a top, yeah. So, gotta hope we don't lose. But yeah, it's besides, single limb. Besides that, guaranteed in the loser semis, it's either Energy versus SSG, or if we lose, it could be us versus SSG if we beat Energy after that. So it's like guaranteed one team is out before, or I mean, one team is actually going to get top 12, probably, right? Oh, no,
one of the top four?
No, that's not guaranteed, but one should get top eight. Like one of the top four is not getting top four, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think it's possible not to.
Yeah.
Because two of them in the lower makes it so they can't go through. Yeah. Like at least one of us is not going to make it. So yeah, that I think gives, I forgot which team I was looking at the bracket. I think it was like Rogue actually has like a pretty nice bracket run, all the way to the finals. Like if they make it through, I was looking at it earlier. I don't know if you have it with you right now, but, I probably should have pulled it up.
Try to pull it up quick.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get the bracket.
Yeah. It's it's Rogue, Rogue and V1, and then if Rogue wins, then they'll play us if we win. So it's like that grouping is V1, Rogue, and then G2 and United. Actually, you know what I think you saw was Envy. Envy has the run.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It is Envy.
Yeah.
Envy has the nice side of the bracket. Yeah, I was looking at, yeah, here it is.
Yeah, Envy's side of the bracket is Ghost versus Alpine, and then Envy versus Pittsburgh Knights.
PK, so. Wow. Yeah, they got PK, Ghost, Alpine. And then, dude, the top side is so stacked. Because the loser in the loser's bracket as well goes to the top side from the NRG and SSG.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God.
Kind of unlucky with that one, but
yeah, that's kind of sweaty. Dude, that's nuts. Okay, yeah, so the tournament's going to be kind of hectic.
I think that's kind of expected, though. If you have, like, I hate this format. Like, I try not to complain about formats, but this one is so bad in comparison to what the Swiss was. Like, I hate that they actually went away from the Swiss
format. What are the differences, so we can tell everyone?
Okay, so, I mean, this one specifically is, what they did is they found the top 24 teams, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 24 teams. 12 auto-qualified.
Top 24 teams. Right. So, 24 teams, and they just, with seeding, they just put them into a double elimination bracket. And that's the format.
Yeah. Is it?
There's how no seeding like, determined.
Seeding was determined through
by play-ins?
Last season's RLCS and last season's grid or last split. Split's RLCS stuff and last split's grid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we got like fourth seed or something like that. Through that specifically.
Yeah.
So I mean the seeding ended up doesn't even matter because what ended up happening this weekend. So
yeah, us and SSG both losing on day one is pretty bad. It's not going to make the tournament too easy for anyone anymore.
Messes the whole flow of the tournament.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing is the peeps are already out as well.
Are they really?
Yeah, the peeps lost to Sonics in the lower bracket, so they're not in it. They got out at like top 20, I'm pretty sure.
Jesus, I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
And they were in 6th for point. Oh my bad. They got 13th through 16th. So
yeah, peeps were like one of the teams I considered to be like a come up team this season, like them V1 and like
like they would
Rogue.
Stick around the top eight.
Yeah, I would think them three would kind of be on the top eight, but that's kind of surprising to see them fall so short. But low key, like I'm not gonna lie, the bubble teams that are like NNA Like, they're just, I feel like what happens in NA is, like, we kind of scrim a lot against each other, right? A lot of the top teams scrim against each other. So they kind of learn each other's play styles. I think against the bubble teams, like, not scrimming against them, you don't really know how each person on the team plays because you don't play them too much. And which is like a complete change of pace from what you're normally used to with RLCS teams, like top RLCS teams. So it kind of throws, I think a lot of people don't respect those teams and that kind of throws them off guard.
Do you think, like, just because the lower do the lower teams like scrim against other lower teams? I'm assuming
I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna lie, we don't really scrim too many lower teams, and I feel like that's actually why. Like, I feel like we do better against teams that we scrim against more because we know how they play. Like, and then against teams that we never scrim, we always feel super uncomfortable. And like, even though it should be the same for both, but I feel like we rely on that a lot, especially because, you know, you gotta learn people's play styles in the scene.
No, I feel like that's a pretty common thing.
Yeah, I think everyone would struggle with that. I think bubble players are kind of also playing without anything to lose. You know, there's no pressure on their back.
Well, right, yeah. It's always up to the big teams, right, to, like, kind of hold their own and keep on proving that they, like, belong at, like, where everyone holds them to, right? Like, you're talking about, like, top four teams, right? These guys have everything on the line, right?
Literally,
like, team like Sonics, for example, man, like, you know, they're not regarded as one of the top teams in NA. You know, like, people aren't really gonna pull for them when they go up against these bigger name teams that are way more established and that have, like, better results. That's what makes it, like, the upset, right? Like, that's why it's an upset, because like, no one expects it, no one's actually pulling for it. And then you guys too talking about, like, not actually scrimming these guys or getting any experience against them. It leaves that margin for the unpredictability, and like you said, like, they got nothing to lose. They can only prove themselves in that match. You know what I mean?
It's like, I mean, you nailed it. The straight up, just nothing to lose. I feel like it's so much easier to just play like that in general.
Yeah,
I'm expected to lose. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, you just go and not caring. It's such a different mentality, and like, mentality in Rocket League is huge because the game. Like, it's not like League or, like, CS where there's strats. Like, you set up, like, smokes before or something. Or in League, everyone tries to rotate and push a minion wave at a certain time. And then with the minion wave going in a direction, you group up and stuff. It's not like that. And Rocket League is just proactive, constant, just having to read your opponents and full speed gameplay. And, like, you can't really set up strats. So if you're just, like, pure confidence, not thinking about anything as, like, a bubble team, you probably can do pretty well in these tournaments.
I feel like that's almost the next step in like the highest level of Rocket League is actually having these kind of strats, right? Like, you know the team so well, or the players so well on the opposing teams, that you kind of alter the play style, right? You get players that play a lot together, right? You guys build your team chemistry, everyone's mechanically sound, and then, like, I feel like that's kind of the next step as far as the skill ceiling is. Now it's based on who you're playing, right? You alter your play style a little bit. You tweak things here and there. And I think it's already a thing, right? Like, I think it's already something that happens. Like, you know this team, when they get squeezed in the corners, right? Like, they do something, right? They react a certain way, and they're consistent with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you learn tendencies quite a bit.
Right, yeah, exactly. Tendencies.
And I think that's what's really going to set teams apart going forward in Rocket League. Because, I mean, it's not like the mechanical skill ceiling can go, like, that much higher. I think, obviously it can go higher, but I don't think it's going to be so significant. I think it's going to be more so coming down to like, not, I don't want to say game sense, but sort of
strategy, it kind of is game sense. Yeah, game sense pretty much just summarizes it.
And altering yourself, like, based on who you're playing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, mechanically the game has it kind of skyrocketed pretty hard once, like, flip resets were added in, and, like, everything kind of you know, that patch changed a lot of mechanical stuff. It made so much more things available to everyone's cars. And, you know, the ceiling is kind of getting closer and closer. I think, though, like, event now it's just, like, pure... Now it's, like, who the best is turned by pure speed and, like, not making a mistake while you're going pure speed. And at the same time, being able to know where everyone is in the field. Like, that's what the game comes down to.
Sounds like you just named just about everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of. But, like, you know, you can't be going, like, I remember back in the day, like, when I'm talking about, like, remember when Chow Sat was popping off in the Fennec? That was, I feel like that was a four people learn how to challenge, right? Nowadays, you literally could never do that. You could never do what Chow Sat did when the Fennec came out, because everyone nowadays,
like, 2018 or something?
Yeah. No one knew how to challenge, and, like, people would play slower on purpose. Like, now it's like, you have to be able to keep up in speed, Otherwise, you're going to get completely dusted by everyone. Like, that's what it usually feels like nowadays.
Yeah. No, I mean, I that makes sense.
Yeah, you can't just dribble everyone anymore, like the old days.
Well, I mean, I think, speed, obviously, right? Like, you play a fast team, like, you got to play fast. But what I like seeing, and I noticed, I think it was NRG, actually. I think it was you guys. I forget who you guys were playing, but they were speedy. And I feel like NRG wasn't really ready for that speed necessarily. Like, it seemed like you guys were waking up still a little bit, but like once you guys started banging, right, I noticed you would then bring the tempo of the game down a little bit, right? Because these guys were beating you just off speed, right? They were zooming around, like beating everybody to the ball. And then you guys kind of like brought the tempo back in your favor. Like, I think controlling the game, and like you can control, because, you know, it's not necessarily just about being the fastest. You can control the tempo of the game. And that's like kind of how you can throw another team off. And I noticed, I think it was NRG, and I don't remember who you guys were playing, unfortunately, but you guys, I remember seeing you guys like slow down a little bit, and it really like it messed up their rotations. It just messed with their whole game, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually do that sometimes whenever we're like struggling to find any opportunities. Like, we'll literally just like dribble and 50 and play control, and then like when we find opportunities to challenge, like that's when we kind of go full speed. It's kind of not like full speed 24/7, I guess, in Rocket League. It's more like bursts of acceleration, like when you need to. But it's like you have to be fast when you're doing that, and you got to commit.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of teams do that as well.
Yeah.
Where like if they're not finding the opportunity, they kind of slow down because. Either one, they don't know what to do, or they're doing it like on purpose. They're just like, fuck, I'm getting beat to every ball. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Or they actually slow it down on purpose and play more methodical.
So, I mean, outside of, energy and SSG falling to lowers and all that stuff, there was some Reddit drama.
Big news to this week. Big news.
some Reddit crazy drama.
Happened. Oh, man.
And, I feel like we should kind of go over the Reddit drama because I think it's kind of fun. I think reading Reddit comments always gives me a good little chuckle. I think Rizzo probably... Let's first talk about the Reddit post that was brought up about us last week when we discussed EU. Let's go from there, and then we'll switch over to the Reddit post talking about the Aleutian rule thing.
Now that football is back in full swing, you might not be the game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all your great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And 2020 has reshaped how we work. Businesses across the globe are trying to be more efficient than ever, so when every hire is critical, Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other site, helping you find quality candidates quickly. Indeed also gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need. You can pause your account anytime, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. You can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visit Indeed each month, which is why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
So, last week they posted about us on Reddit. And, there was some controversy over our take on the NA versus EU. And we were all kind of put on blast. Like, oh, these guys don't know anything about EU. And it was kind of funny reading the comments. Because, like, we claim in the video and in the clip where it's like, we don't watch EU. And then we give our comments right after saying, like, EU's trash. Which was kind of funny.
That was you. That was you.
Wait, you said it too.
I did not say EU's trash. I would never say EU's trash. That is quote word for word what you would say.
Oh, come on.
Listen. I don't watch EU, but EU's trash.
Listen. I said that, but you said before you didn't say EU is trash specifically, but you were just like laughing in the sense that you knew EU is trash, but you didn't want to say it. That's what you did. So all now right, you're trying to get out of it because you were just like, you were just like sitting there like, like at EU, you know, you didn't want to say anything about it. Anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Wait, I didn't even see this Reddit thread. Wait, were they talking so, bad about me, bro? Do I need to like?
No, because it's mainly just Sizz saying his stuff, and then
I feel like I was respectful of every region.
I chimed in.
You know?
Listen, well, should I play the clip? 45. Do you have it quick?
I can get it really fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Hold on here. There we go. Okay. Sizz and Rizzo on the NA versus EU controversy. I'll pull this up on the... Or can I even pull this up on the screen? I'll just play the audio, because you guys don't need to see our faces.
Yeah.
Okay, here. There's been some drama going around lately in the scene. If you have been following up on Twitter and such, you would have seen it by now. If not, we'll give you guys a little lowdown. You know, Rizzo, you want to go ahead and go through the tweets for everyone? Just to start it off.
Yeah, I can give the quick rundown real quick.
Yeah,
we got Reynolds. What? We got Reynolds, who is an NA player for SSG.
Oh, is it playing?
It's playing. I was just going through.
Yeah, he's crying, laughing in this.
And just to give even more background info, Reynolds has been known as like a kind of toxic player. Not like toxic, but you know, he'll banter. He's not really afraid to banter.
Yeah, he trash talks quite a bit. Let's go. Then there's a tweet at Johnny Boy, like within the same thread. He says, "Johnny Boy, I beg you to run a best of seven with alternating servers." So
where's the part where we talk about? I'm trying to find it. Hold on.
NA grinding really peak.
Kind of go through and give our own. Okay, here I found the part.
I just fall asleep every time I try to watch.
Yeah. You literally just said I fall asleep every time I try to watch EU.
Nah, bro, but that's just true. That's not like
hold on.
He's trash, no, but yeah. Legit, anytime I try to watch the really region, I just fall asleep. That's not like I'm not saying they're bad. I just think their gameplay is boring.
Yeah, his opinion. I think
I have nobody to root for either. That's another thing.
This guy Rizzo literally says, "I don't follow you either, but when I do, I fall asleep watching their game." All right, well, that summarizes that. Listen, we're done with that. We'll move on. Let's go to the next topic. All right. Anyway, NA still better than EU. So, Aleutian, there was some great. Let's have Rizzo discuss this because I know Rizzo is itching to talk about this.
All right. Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this one.
I think me and Rizzo talked about this a little bit when we were doing the co-stream thing.
Yeah, we mentioned it a little bit. All right. So, this is what happens. I don't even remember whose verse now. Actually thinking about it, but anyway, peeps were versus some team, not sure who it was, but Aleutian was in a rule 1-2, whatever you think it is, doesn't matter. Aleutian was in the rule 1 where the cars are gridlocked together, they can't move, you know, you don't break it because it's the rules or whatever.
It's and the rule, ball, dude.
The ball comes rolling to him and he breaks it and he saves the ball. Now keep in mind, nobody would ever think to do this in a million-dollar tournament. World's qualification on the line. Nobody would be so stupid as to break this rule for $1 million, right?
Never, dude. Why would you do that?
So, obviously, what is it? Like, RLCS points on the line, land qualification, millions of dollars, prize pool. Hey, these guys specifically actually don't have an org either. So, you know, they might want an org to sign him. So he broke it, the Unforsaken rule. And Reddit.
I love so, okay, when okay, you wait, said, let me rephrase. You said Reddit so sassy, like, Reddit?
And let me rephrase. Some people on Reddit were not a fan of this. Obviously, most people do not give a shit. Most people do not care. But some people, they were pretty mad.
Some people.
What, should I read some of these?
That's what I thought you were going to do. I was waiting for you to read it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, read them out.
One person on Reddit. This is, you're right, the reaction to the gridlock.
Yeah.
It's hilarious first off, but personally, either commit to it or don't. No shame either way. I understand why people don't care. It is RLCS and they scored. However, I do view it as poor sportsmanship. So it's poor sportsmanship that he wants to win in this tournament. Okay. We're going to go down to the next one. It's the, quote, bump the gloves of Rocket League, or RL. If you're not going to commit, then just don't. But breaking it to save a goal is shameful. Saving a goal is shameful in RLCS. Oh, man. You have your opponent unable to make a play for this team based on a gentleman's agreement, while you do make the play when your team needs you. That's just unfair. Follow it through or break it as soon as you're locked in. Man, spitting facts. Can't deny that.
True. Should have broke it as soon as they locked in. That is a fact. I will agree with that. Rule one's a joke.
I mean, it is.
It is.
But regardless, last one. I think it's a bit scummy. I have no problem with breaking rule one in a professional setting, but if you handshake it initially and then break it, it's kind of deceiving your opponent.
That's like, the only thing you could say to that is like, dude, that's like saying you're not allowed to fake in Rocket League. Like, that doesn't make any
sense.
You're
deceiving. Well, yeah, you're deceiving. That's so mean.
Oh,
why
yeah,
would you deceive your opponents, bro?
Why would you deceive your opponents, nice. Dude?
Let me just share my take on this. Again, obviously, this is not everybody on the subreddit. This is a select few people that were handpicked. Actually, no, I will give credit to NoseDude because he screenshotted this and I stole it from him. But NoseDude got the screenshot and I'm reading it now. But, dude, it is LAN qualification. These guys want an org. These guys don't have an org, so they need the money for winning a game. And then let's not even forget to mention LAN qualification has the money there as well. Million. Yeah. I don't know how much you can win from LAN. Like 300,000 or something, I think, if you win the LAN. Final event or some shit like that. It's a lot. It is a lot. So, like, how are you even thinking that this is deceiving your opponents? Do you want to win? Why would they not want to win? Why would you not make the play when your team needs you? What is the bump the gloves of Rocket League? What does that even mean?
It's a gentleman's agreement, dude. What do you mean?
When I see stuff like this, it just blows my mind that, like, games...
They exist.
I don't go outside. Take a step back, go outside, go for a walk or something. I feel like I have to say it because, like, dude, gain some perspective on what's going on in this entire tournament, man.
And, like, these people have no idea, like, what's going on, like, in those teams' heads, right? Like, and we all know, like, these people clearly don't, but we all know that anyone that actually locks into that and commits to that, they're waiting to get out and make the save. It's not, there's no gentleman's agreement. They're like, as long as this isn't hurting us.
Some people will fully lock. If it's like middle of the field, yeah. Some people will just fully lock and they'll say it's a 2v2, go for it. But like Illusion was legit in front of his net and the ball came rolling to him. If he did not break that, my mind would have been so blown that Illusion did not break
like
it.
No shot. You know, as soon as that is, it becomes a disadvantage for your team. You are breaking it and like making the play. And I think probably any player on any of these top teams could agree to that.
You better save that 100%.
If it's like the grid
or something small tournament. If it's RLCS, dude, I 100% expect you.
100%. Yeah, dude, this is the big tourney, man. Like this is where the money's made. This is where careers are made. Like, come on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's locked by his net. There's no reason he shouldn't. Like, people will do that, and they'll lock away from the net, and it's, like, fine for both teams. Then it's just a 2v2. But, like, he's literally, like, planted right in front of his net. It's literally a disgrace if he doesn't save that. It'd be unsportsmanlike if he didn't save it, because that's just stupid.
Yeah, I think actually, I think he's in the situation where he loses either way. Now that I'm thinking about it,
literally,
because if he doesn't break it, they're like, oh my god, why would he not save that? And then obviously, if he does, he's gonna get stuff like this.
That's what I was saying. I mean, like, some people would be like, oh, respect. Shut the fuck up, dude. There's no respect. It's just stupid. You shouldn't do that. You should 100% break that rule. One's a dumb rule. It shouldn't even be a rule. People should be able to break it all the time. And no one should even react to people breaking it because it's a stupid rule.
Yeah, I don't like. I sometimes do it in ranked. Sometimes
I'll do it when I don't feel like playing the game. That's
exactly. When that's I don't feel like I'm just like, oh, whatever, I'll put the controller down. I do it too.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, actually. It's kind of nice because then you can AFK. You don't have to play. Yeah, and then if you lose, you can't blame
me. If somebody doesn't want to do it, I don't understand. So many people freak out when somebody breaks it. Oh my God. What? No respect.
Ridiculous.
So, like, they just go crazy. Like, Twitch, if you see, like, imagine Squishy's stream. He's just streaming. He's playing. Somebody locks them and he breaks it. What? No.
What?
Squishy, why?
Squishy, I hate you now.
Unsub. See you later.
Unsub. Yeah. I can't believe you do this. It's like, dude probably just wants to play the game. His queue time was like 5 minutes, man. Yeah. Just let him have this.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of summarizes the Reddit drama. You know, shout out Reddit for always keeping us entertained and giving us a good laugh every now and then. You know, no matter how dumb you guys are, we'll always love you, you know. So, you know, next
some
up.
Of, don't say all of them. Say some of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's always some bad apples. You know, you even the always bad, some apples, bad apples. Even the bad apples are lovable. You know, they give us. Yeah,
exactly. They give us the context.
Yeah. I mean, there wouldn't be a reason for a downvote if there weren't some bad apples. Okay.
True.
So, you know, next up on the biz is the other Rocket League regions. And, you know, I kind of brought this up because I kept, you know, every time I'm on Twitter, every time I brought them through, I'll see, you know, Ahmed tweet, I'll see Senzo, I'll see, you know, any of those tweets. And it's always them not being able to, and for anyone that doesn't know, if you guys don't know Ahmed and Senzo and stuff, they are some of the top players in the Middle Eastern scene of Rocket League. And they always tweet out how, you know, they're always getting flamed, they're always getting roasted for not being in RLCS, not having an opportunity to be in RLCS. Always complaining, always trying to, you know, reach out to Psyonix to try to get any info on whether or not they're even going to have an RLCS career. And, you know, I kind of wanted to bring this up because I think this is a pretty important topic for Rocket League and just for even any game in general, just having wildcard regions and having other regions that aren't the main regions. You know, the Middle East is left out in Rocket League. SAM and OCE are comparable regions to the Middle East, and they are not left out in Rocket League. And so I think we're just going to go over all this right now and just kind of discuss what we think about it. So first of all, just to give some info on it, Senzo tweeted out a long time ago, I'd say like maybe like 6 months ago, to adding Epic Games and RL Esports. He said, "Dear Epic Games, dear RL Esports, I have no idea how many times we are all we're asking for is a reason for those 5 years. I need to know if we'll ever be able to allow to participate. If we will ever be able." Wait, hold on. If we'll ever be allowed to participate, I can't spend another half a decade hoping and consider quitting. No, there's a region waiting, Middle Eastern community. So he's basically adding them saying, listen, guys, we've spent 5 years trying to play this game professionally. We've been holding on. We've been playing on high ping servers onto Europe. We're a region with talent, and we're looking to expand. We're looking to participate in the main events, and we can't because we need your support. And that's what they're saying. And so other regions that compare to them, SAM and OCE, are regions that Psyonix has indeed focused on. And so for OCE, for example, they have 32 teams in a double elim bracket for this season for their regional. I just got this off Liquipedia. So OCE format is 32 teams double elim into a 16 team Swiss into a top four double elim. SAM
that seems
is
so unnecessarily like long, like so much to it. Yeah,
it seems pretty long for a region that we don't even hear too much about. We don't even know. I can't even list out. No, I actually don't think I can list out maybe 6 teams in OCE, realistically. And there's 32 in this.
I can't. I honestly cannot tell you a single 3-man roster from OCE because they swap like a lot after every season. But I don't know a single 3-man team from OCE.
I probably can't name the teams. I can name the like, orgs.
I feel like that's just my incompetence, just me saying that. But
yeah.
Like I don't watch it also because I'm pretty sure it's on like super late at night or something, early morning, something like that.
Yeah, no, the time zone's horrible.
I don't know how that time zone works. It's something way off the deep end. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, the time zone for OCE is pretty bad. It is. I literally never see them online except for like 9 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
And so the SAM format, so OCE is 32 teams into a 16 team Swiss into top four double elim. SAM format is 16 teams. No one gets eliminated into a top eight single elim. What am I saying? Sorry. 16 teams, I think double elim. I actually don't know if it was Swiss or double elim into top eight single elim. And the reason I put these here is because, you know, OCE can get 32 teams, SAM can get 16 teams, and Middle East can't even get, they won't even let one team compete. So, you know, in other games that I know, I'm familiar of, there's like League of Legends where they have wildcard regions where they have like 3 teams or 4 teams come from that region to come to Worlds. And, you know, every region is able to participate at least somewhat. So I'm really surprised. If they're going to include, you know, the Middle East, maybe they should even expand to Japan. They should include other regions as well. I don't see a region not to. Yeah, I don't see a reason not to. I know the Japan scene is huge, so I'm guessing all of Asia probably is pretty big as well. But SAM and OCE have RLCS. Middle East, Asia don't. I think they probably should, considering how much wasted talent there is. I forgot. I don't know if Chad knows. Wasn't there like a CSGO team that did really well, Chad, that from like a wild card region?
There was an Asian team that kind of popped off in Counter Strike.
Wasn't Ty Lue?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that was
I can't believe you remembered that.
Wow. How'd you remember that?
Are they still around?
I'm not sure. I don't follow Counter Strike too much anymore. But I wonder what is keeping them from expanding to these regions. It has to be some sort of legal issue, right? Like why would they not?
Yeah.
Maybe they can't find TOs, like tournament organizers, right, to run these things, or like maybe there's not enough of a grassroots like community there that can help, like, you know, because Psyonix will work with like whoever's local to then establish these sort of communities and run the tournaments, right? So there has to be some sort of like legal barrier, I'm assuming, that, or like hoops that it's just a little too hard for them to jump through. Do you guys know why they, you know, wouldn't have tournaments or
I feel
something
like,
for these regions?
I feel like it could be that, like some sort of legal issue. But I think just the main problem is that these people have been playing for like 5 years thinking I don't even know how long it could be. Probably like season, I don't know. When did they add Sam? Probably like season 4 or 5, maybe like 6. Five or six, something like that. And then like Emmy's like, we're next. You know, season 5 goes by, then 6, 7, 8. Like it just keeps going. They're just like, they don't hear anything and nothing at all. And they don't know. They don't even know, like, exactly what Senzo's tweet said. He doesn't even know if it's worth it for him to sit there and like keep playing the game, because he doesn't know if he's going to have a chance to even like qualify for Worlds, or if his region's going to have any sort of like esports scene. So he's sitting there and he feels like he's just wasting his time. And this isn't just Senzo. Like, I'm sure majority of the region, at least that very high level players, are going to feel this way as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've seen all their tweets all over Twitter. People retweet them all the time. Even NA pros, EU pros, we all retweet it. We try to get them some support. You know, they're a region with a lot of just wasted talent, it feels like. Like, to me, it feels like there's like EuroLeague for basketball. Like, if you follow the NBA, there's like a EuroLeague, and it feels like this is like a EuroLeague that we don't even know anything about. And like, they're just like a bunch of talent sitting there waiting to be like, you know, shown to the world. And like, we've already seen like highlights of it and glimpses of it from like O'Khaled and, you know, Senzo and Ahmed, all these 1v1 tourneys that Johnny's been hosting and such, and Salt Mine, all that. So we've seen glimpses of it. We've seen SRG play. We've seen, I think the whole region, there actually is like some depth to the region too. Like, I know there's like a top like two like main teams. But like there is depth to the region. I mean, that, otherwise there wouldn't even be, like, same with OCE. There has to be some depth, because there wouldn't be 32 teams able to compete without some depth to the region.
Yeah, 32 teams for OCE seems like a lot. So yeah, like, because I don't watch the region, but regardless, I always feel like I constantly hear about the same 2-3 teams. Again, I'm not really sure who's on those teams, but I do hear about the teams themselves. But 32 teams seems like a lot for OCE.
Yeah, 32.
Like,
for OCE.
I didn't even know there was that many players. Like,
I didn't either. It's funny because it's like a different format. It's different format than NA.
So how many teams go to Worlds then from OCE?
We don't know yet because they haven't announced anything. But people are guessing 2, I think.
Because it used to be 2. Is it they haven't, like, it's still 2?
Right, I think people are assuming it's
6, it can't be more than 4.
It's 6 NA and EU, and then OC and Sam are getting 2, so it'd be 16.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's
so,
two teams from 32.
That's a big tournament for 2 teams.
Yeah,
to go through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, right? And it's like that. That's their whole split. Is just like that. It's weird because like NA, to give a reference, NA is a 32 team double Olim into a 16-team Swiss, I think, and then a top 8 single Olim. But theirs is a 32-team double Olim, 16-team Swiss, and then top 4 double Olim. Theirs is double Olim for their top 4.
No, ours is the 24-team double Olim bracket. That's it. Right?
I think I'm looking at last season's.
You're probably looking at our last
split. This is last splits.
Yeah, so ours is just a 24 team double limb.
Did theirs change this split? Because I think I got this in from last split then.
Well, regardless.
Let me make sure. Overview. This is winter overview. No, 32 teams, 16 Team Swiss, single elim, 8 teams. Yeah, it's the same this season.
So theirs does do that.
Theirs was the same as last season. Yeah, theirs does that.
Okay. Yeah, that's that seems so like unnecessarily confusing. Maybe they don't stream every game, so they're fine to do like they probably don't stream every game, so they're fine to do like more formats and stuff and make sure the higher better team goes through. But regardless, something I did want to bring up about the Middle East scene as well is they've had some tournaments like in the past, and I'm looking at like the SRG. Sandrock Gaming is the team of Senzo, Ahmad, and Okalid. And I'm looking at some of their winnings, and they played in like the kickoff, which was in July. And so they ended up winning like $9,000 from this. But there's other teams in here as well that like could be very good as well. Like there is more depth to the region than just this one team. Which again, I just don't understand.
Just SRG, yeah.
Yeah. And then also, some people had mentioned before about, oh, why don't SRG just move to EU? Like, just move for it. and like they have the org, and I'm pretty sure they have like a dude who is legit willing to do that. One of them tweeted about this. I don't know if it was Kaladamod Senzo. One of them said like, oh yeah, we could do this, but I don't want to abandon my studies for like a pipe dream, essentially.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So again, it goes back to like they don't really know. Like they could go to EU and like try to qualify, but you know, it's the unknown. Like that's pretty scary, just moving to EU just to try to qualify. But regardless, like if Emmy had a scene, they don't have to worry about this. So,
and like I don't know if this is like a hot take, but it's kind of hard to like complain about you putting in all these hours and grinding for years to like become a professional Rocket League player when the support's not there, but then also saying that you're not willing to like move to pursue that dream. It's kind of hard to complain about it, like, oh, like you guys won't support this region, whatever. But like, if you could make the jump, like if you have that support, you have that infrastructure set, like make the jump for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, go for it. If you really believe in it, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, like can you not just bring this to me? But I could see both sides of it.
Hold on. I think let me look at their age real quick.
Oh, the SRG. I think they're all of age.
Khaled is 17. Khaled is 17. And I'm pretty sure when I saw this tweet, it was a few months ago, so they could have been even younger at this point.
Ahmed is 18.
Ahmed is 18. Senzo is 19, and Khaled is 17. So yeah. I don't know. If you're like that young, I feel like it's a little bit different.
It is pretty difficult.
Instead of trying to make that jump. Like maybe if they were of age and they had that support. Like they had a team house, you might as well take a go at it. Take a swing at it. I don't see a
but like also anticipating that things are going to change in your favor and like putting in all this work like before that happens. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying they're wrong. Like, by any means, am I saying that they're in the wrong? Like, I think these regions should be supported. I think if you're having worlds and things like that, you should include the world. I think every region should have a chance.
Yeah.
And it's not, these guys are young. It's not that simple. You can't just pick up your life, move somewhere for something that's not guaranteed, not secure. Yeah. Right? But I could see kind of both sides of this. I think it's complex, but I'm more so interested into why Psyonix hasn't expanded to these regions, you know?
I feel like it's not that hard to, like for League of Legends, I remember when they introduced wildcard regions, like Brazil and stuff, everyone was like, oh, this is a joke, like it's a waste of time. And then those regions came to Worlds and they decimated NA and League of Legends, and everyone was like, oh, never mind. These wildcard regions are actually good.
NA is the wildcard region.
NA is literally Garbo in EU. In EU and League of Legends. Everyone thinks it's a joke, so... Yeah. I think MU could be a really good region, a contestant like I remember Brazil and CSGO just took over CSGO out of nowhere. Like I feel like MU could do that if they wanted to in Rocket League.
Probably
they really could be that good. We'll never know because it all depends on how you play on a LAN, how you play on low ping. These guys are playing on 100 plus ping against EU teams for no prize money for practice because they don't get any opportunity to play in their region.
I think
they probably, going back to what Chad said, I think they probably could move over if they want to give it more of like a realistic chance. I think they're good enough to move over and do well in EU, I don't think that they'll like do bad, but it's like, why are you going to force yourself to compete in an already competitive region when they could just open your region up and allow you to participate at least as a wild card to let the world see what you can show.
Yeah. And I think I think for like Epic or Psyonix or whatever, it literally all comes down to money or like the return on their investment or something like that. It could not even be like a legality thing where they're just like, you know what, like there's not like this big ME fan base, so we don't think we're going to get a lot of money back, and it's just going to be a money sink. They could think that as well.
Right.
I mean, that'd be a fair assumption. I think I don't think the return would be that much. I just feel it's a more of like a fairness thing from Psyonix. Like, should they include this region if other regions are included?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Psyonix isn't making like a crazy amount off of OCE or SAM. So I feel like there's not really a reason that they can't include. I mean, and there's no way they don't have like excess money from Epic Games coming in and joining.
Oh,
them,
yeah. For some Fortnite skins.
Yeah, I feel like you literally could just put up a new Fortnite skin that could pay for the entirety of the
region. that new Lachlan skin just came out, so I'm sure they have enough to fund the Emmy.
That's what I'm saying.
Shout out Lachlan.
Straight up, bro. Take one skin from Fortnite, let it sell, and then fund Emmy. Like, just, I feel like they have the resources for it. Maybe they'll lose a little bit, but I think it'd be fair to allow that region to play, knowing that they're just sitting there waiting.
I mean, Maybe it's up to these regions too, like to take the initiative, right? Because we had it, like, we'd start off with North America and Europe, right? And then like South America was like, hey, we have all these really great players, like you should support our region. And I believe they started running tournaments. I know OCE did. Like they started running their own tournaments. They started organizing. They and like it happened in NA too. You know, like when the game first came out, people started developing these competitive like esport based communities, and then it's easy for Psyonix to tap into that, right? So maybe they just need to hustle a little bit more on their end as far as or organization, running things and just getting that community actually started, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, they play, it looks like SRG, they're playing in basically one tournament a month. They're mainly winning them.
And like I don't know if these
but regions, that's all they have.
These regions that aren't included by Psyonix and Epic, right? I don't know if they're like, I don't know their scene at all, right? I have no information on that.
Yeah.
They could be doing this already, right? They could be taking the steps, but then that brings me back to like, why is this not supported, right?
Yeah. What's interesting that I asked you to saw Johnny Boy type in chat was he said that OCE and SAM regionals aren't even Psyonix supported. They're run by tournament organizers.
Right.
Which is, okay. I actually never.
So are they just funded by Psyonix then? They just throw a little bit of money. That makes sense then, actually.
I'm guessing
if
ME
does not have like a broadcasting team or like just like a weekly tournament that's run over there, because we had like NA had like Rival.
Yeah,
what EU had, and EU had like
an Astro stuff,
Astro stuff like that, and then Sam had Rocket Street, OCE had like I don't know, I don't watch, but Sam had like Rocket Street, OCE had something, I know for sure they actually had like a scene, so maybe that's what they're actually waiting on. Is just they don't want to do the whole region themselves, that maybe they don't have that much. They, you know, they probably have the money, but they don't have the workforce, or they don't want to hire a bunch of people just to do this specifically.
Yeah.
Create like the infrastructure of creating an entire scene for ME.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
That does seem pretty difficult in hindsight, making the whole scene, finding terminal, organizing everything. But I feel like Psyonix and Epic Games have the money and have the power to do so. So,
and they don't even have to go all in necessarily, like off rip, right?
Yeah,
like
you're
just
right.
get a couple wild card slots for those regions, have like somewhat of a smaller tournament with play ins for that tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Like, have people do the whole like weekend tournament where they're playing a bunch of games all day, and then take those top teams, do a smaller tournament, and then give away a wild card spot to a couple of these regions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, if they see a lot of growth, if they see a lot of support from these regions and in these wild card spots, they don't necessarily have to do well, but if they then in turn do well in worlds, like it can be an avenue for them to capitalize on.
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't at least try it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've even seen other esports that's worked all the time. You know, they bring in a new region, the region will do decent, and then they'll develop a scene off of the region, at least showing up at Worlds. So, you know, I like to see Emmy involved in Rocket League more, you know, even Asia as well. You know, I mean, it is called Worlds, RLCS Worlds for a reason. I think we should have all the regions involved, no matter what scene it is. There's talent everywhere. So Rocket is a game that's going to grow a lot in the future, and there's going to be a lot more players coming in soon, especially because of the free-to-play. So I think we should see a scene everywhere eventually. And there should be a wildcard tournament.
Hopefully. The dream.
Yeah.
You guys should be a little scared, bro, of that Asia inclusion. If we learn anything from StarCraft...
Or that lead, APM's dude.
Going up, bro. You guys
the APM.
Job, bro.
Good luck. You're about to get microed out of your mind from
might
some StarCraft
some sleeper
players.
Teams over there, man. Facts. You never know.
24-year-old Riz ain't going to be able to keep up with them youngins.
That micromanagement from the StarCraft players, bro. It's too much to handle.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that kind of covers the whole, you know, other Rocket League regions. You know, we hope that somehow we can get other regions involved. It'd be pretty cool to see. But yeah, good luck. Good luck to Emmy. I hope to see you guys and Asia in RLCS soon. Hopefully Sonics would have something in mind coming soon to get you guys involved. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The next, and you know, wait, one before you go on, one little small thing is maybe free to play boosted the player base for these regions, so it's more enticing for them too.
Yeah,
that was just a little small thing I thought of, but regardless,
yeah,
we can move on.
Yeah, 100% free to play had to have boosted it somewhat. The last topic for today is youth in esports and Twitch/YouTube, you know, whatever it is. You know, young people, I remember when I first came into, you know, the YouTube scene, everything, even back in the old days, like before Rocket League, when I was on Call of Duty, trickshotting and stuff, it's just, you know, when you're younger, you know, it's weird getting involved in this stuff early, and it's like a whole new scene that you're not used to. So how do you transition from being, you know, a young high schooler who doesn't know anything about, you know, the esports scene and, you know, YouTube, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you have something pop off, a viral video, or you start being really good at the game, and all of a sudden now you're involved in esports. How do you transition from high school over to esports and you know, getting involved in the world?
Wait, what? You actually just overcomplicated that so much.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, the youth in esports overcomplicated? No, it's not that overcomplicated, bro. Don't worry about it.
We're talking about someone that falls into a position where they see a lot of success or a lot of popularity in whatever you know, niche area they're kind of into, right? We're talking about someone who kind of explodes and has a ton of attention, a ton of money, something like that, and they're still a kid, right? They're still, you know, 16, 17 years old, right?
Yeah. So I think somebody that's not in the Rocket League scene that could be like a good, great example. This is probably like Booga, or whatever you say that guy's name, from Fortnite. He won the World Cup, right?
Yeah, $3 million World Cup.
$3 million. Okay, I didn't know if it was called the World Cup, but he won a $3 million World Cup. So being in that position where you're sitting there, you're playing Fortnite every day. I think he was signed to an org at this time, but and then you just go to this event and you win the whole thing, $3 million in your pocket, and you're like world renowned on Twitch. Not world renowned, but you know, Twitch renowned. Like everybody knows you on Twitch now. At least in Fortnite, everybody knows you, and you have so much attention coming your way at this point. I was mainly thinking about like what kind of effects this might have on a person. And this is something you see with like celebrities as well. And I don't know if it's like, I don't know if it's stretching with like a comparison, but you know, Justin Bieber might be one of those people.
Okay, but like, hold on. How are you comparing this? Are you saying like Booga's gonna turn into like a tattooed, like, you know,
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is some of these people, they just get thrown into this situation, and it's very odd to them because they're still 15 years old or whatever. They're still growing up, and you might need to, for a lot of them, they might need to feel like they're a role model to other people, or other you become a role model to other people, but you're still 15 yourself, and you're still looking up to other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think... like the situation is becoming more and more prevalent in our industry, right? I feel like it comes down to the family, right? The family behind the kid and the people they're surrounding themselves with. I think it's up to them to sort of guide these kids and keep them grounded to an extent. I mean, you just don't have the decision making capabilities of an adult. You're just, at that age, you're not fully developed. Like, your brain is still developing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think it depends on, like, how that goes. Depends on a lot about the environment they're in and the people they're surrounding themselves with. And if they're not necessarily surrounding themselves with the best people, right? It can go kind of bad. And I can't, like, the pressure that comes with that is something that they're not equipped to handle yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It's definitely, like, it's definitely an interesting topic. I don't know. That's all I got to say on that. It's scary. It's gotta be scary to be in that position.
I mean, I just want to say, like, you're kind of thrown into the lions down early. Like even, I'm not going to say, I'm not, like, boo good level or anything, but I'm just saying, like, when I first started streaming and everything, right? Like, you know, you see comments of people saying, like, you know, they wait for your streams, like, to start. They wait to watch you. People that constantly come back and, like, they're just, like, constantly looking for your streams for entertainment and something they come back to daily, right? It's like a safe haven for them. At that age, at 15, like, I feel like you don't even understand that. That's not even a thing. Like, I never, like, even like this week, I barely streamed this week. I streamed for, like, one. I streamed literally the last 2 hours is when I streamed this whole week. And this whole week of streaming every day, I would literally sit here and I would, like, think about starting my stream and I just wouldn't. And then I would be like, damn, dude, I feel bad for anyone that's waiting for me to start streaming because I'm just not streaming. And at that age, I imagine being him, and he has so many little kids looking up to him, so many little kids waiting to watch him. And you're just, like, trying to come out and produce content and be a good player at your game, and it's so hard to do at that age constantly without having pressure on your back. So this is something that I kind of learned later, right? Like, even this week, I'm 23 years old, 24 now. And I'm still like, you know, damn, I feel bad for not streaming this week. And that's, like, something small as a role model. He's someone that won $3 million in the biggest game in the world right now. So it's insane to compare the two.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even specifically about Booga himself. I just feel like he was a really good example. And this could be a
solid example.
Yeah. This could be just about anybody. Like, if we can think of somebody in Rocket League, maybe like Squishy or something. I just say Squishy or even like Musty.
Even Musty. Because Musty's a good example.
How old is Squishy? He's like 19, 20? 20?
Musty's...
Squishy.
Squishy's 19, I think.
19. Right, yeah, so that's still pretty young. And, like, I'm sure he understands because Squishy is pretty mature, and I'm sure Musty understands too, but I feel like you get thrown into this position where you're just like, okay, like, well, okay, Musty didn't really stream that much, but he did YouTube, and it's kind of like this position where okay, these people rely on me to keep uploading videos or to keep streaming, and like you said, it's like a safe haven for a lot of them. And it's just I don't know how to explain it.
It is something hard to explain. It's like touchy. It's like a weird subject because it involves like the viewers and you, like being able to work together to like produce good stuff. Because the viewers are like a lot of your content. Like, you need your viewers to like back you up and stuff and like show you support.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say you need that. I think if you're looking to go into content creation and like things like that, I think you might need it then at that point, right? But I think there's like the whole factor of like there's so much pressure and they don't understand how to deal with it. I mean, even at our level, like we're a bit older, we're a bit more developed, like, and we've been doing this for a while, right? It's not like you don't feel it when you're playing bad. It's not like you don't realize you're streaming and you make a mistake and you know it happens, right? But it's about developing and becoming more equipped to deal with these scenarios and move past it mentally and kind of go, you know, like being able to pick yourself back up and keep on moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really easy to not, like, at that age, bro, like, think about when we were 16, 17 years old. We're in high school. We're, like,
Minecrafter.
We spilled something on our shirt, you know, and we're walking around school all day with it, like, then we're like, oh my god, like, I looked like such an idiot, I feel like such a, you know, like, everyone fucking knows I'm the guy with that shit on my shirt, you know what I mean? Now you put this person, instead of it being that simple and cut and dry, you're putting this person under a microscope to the world. And then they have to broadcast their content, right, to, try to get into this career. And it is being viewed like that by not just your high school, but the entire world. Anyone who has any interest in this game, anyone watching you. And that sort of pressure is something that's really hard to even describe, right?
I feel like that was the best way to put it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you nailed that one. And also, at 15, 16, whatever, let's just say Booga again. This dude probably all he wants to do is just play Fortnite, right? That's all he really cares about, is just getting good at Fortnite. So he's not really thinking about maybe I have to be a role model or a good person. Like, I'm sure he's a great person. I don't actually watch his stuff, but he's not really thinking about that. He just wants to play Fortnite most of the time, I'd imagine, or just other stuff, or just do fun stuff with his friends. So you're never really thinking about those things. But kind of moving on just a little bit is, I put a note here that says, Ninja is a great example of this, because he ended up doing... Oh, actually, this is more so the Twitch side of it, instead of the people in esports. This is just Ninja being... a great example, because he switched to doing PG streams when he was still playing Fortnite. And he said the reason he did this was because anytime someone would come up and ask him if he was Ninja, or oh my God, it's Ninja, it was almost always a 9, 10, 11 year old, anything like that. Just somebody very young who would come to him. And this, the youth now is more so the spectator, right? So these, I don't want to say 10 year olds, because it seems like I'm trying to, I'm being
it
rude.
It seems like a troll,
these,
but no,
these,
they really
yeah,
are.
These
like
literal 10 year olds are watching, your content or his content or whatever, and now you're in the position where you're talking to
it's
very,
so weird,
very
dude.
Young people, right? To think about, yeah, it's a very
so
weird thing,
yeah.
Because all you see is a username, and when you give a sarcastic comment, they might not understand that it was even sarcasm or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, imagine being in Ninja's position, dude. Like, it's so hard to this dude has the whole world of gamers just watching him from any age range, and it's he has to find a way to reach all audiences, obviously the man is a very controversial person to talk about. He's definitely had some drama behind him, and I don't know the man personally, but I will respect the grind and how much he puts into his brand. Being able to go PG, changing your streams are completely like that. It's not easy. It's pretty, actually pretty difficult. I can't mm-hmm. imagine just like Ninja before had how many viewers? Chad, you knew a lot of Twitch. He had 1,000-2,000 viewers back in the day.
Yeah, I've known
PUBG
Ninja for a long time.
Yeah, bro.
I've known the Blev.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Chad's known him, right? So Chad, he didn't have too many viewers. Right?
I watched him before Fortnite as well. Yeah, he would play
he was
Halo
he would
guy.
Curse all the time.
He was a Halo guy. He hit his stride in H1Z1 a bit, and then definitely capitalized on the PUBG hype. And then that's when he ended up going Fortnite, and then becoming legitimately famous, not like
the biggest
famous
people,
legitimately a household name,
like red carpet famous.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you guys can keep talking. I'm gonna grab something real quick that I just remember.
This fucking guy.
So I already know what he's getting, but
we know what he's getting.
I don't think, I don't know, dude. I think he kind of, I understand why he went sort of PG mode, because when you're then going out in real life and everyone that comes up to you or talks to you or I'm a fan of you is a kid, you know what I mean? It's hard to then sit on stream and
I can't take this seriously.
Okay.
I'm sorry, dude.
For those
I
of
can't.
You listening, Rizzo
right.
now has his ninja headband and blue hair.
Dude, oh
head.
My, it's so embarrassing.
Feel free to check out
off,
the stream on
bro.
YouTube if you want to see this.
If
this
you're
is,
a very Spotify or Apple listener, I do have my ninja headband on now. But seriously, listen, this dude is such a household name. I bought his headband with hair on it. Like his blue
that's
hair.
Crazy.
And
you
I love this thing. This thing's so cozy.
You can literally find his stuff at Walmart and Target. Like,
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you can.
That was pretty giga brain to change his hair to blue. I'm not going to lie. Because that became
silver
his
hair
thing.
Now. He doesn't even dye it anymore. I don't even know if he does. But.
Oh, he changed it back to normal?
Well, yeah. I mean, even.
He's gone a couple different ways with it.
Yeah. It was red at one point, too.
I mean,
you see
when
it was
blue
red?
Is the OG though. No, I didn't.
Yeah, the blue is the OG for
sure.
Yeah,
the blue is the OG.
Yeah, yeah, with that.
But he doesn't even, speaking of like changing his stuff, he doesn't even do the PG streams anymore from what I know. Right. He's just a Valorant streamer and he just does his own thing. Like, he doesn't care anymore. He just does whatever.
He kind of did it in like, in when that big boom happened, right? He was like, okay, maybe I should make this change. And I could understand that. Like, seeing and running into people, most majority of your fans coming up to you are kids, are really young kids.
Yeah.
Like, and kind of having that realization in real life, you know what I mean? It could affect you and make you want to go that route. I think the issue was, like, then he then started playing with, like, you know, Travis Scott and, like, Drake and whoever.
Dude, the Drake thing was so funny.
Saying the N-word, like, doing, like, very, very much so not PG. But then he was telling all his streamer friends who swear a lot that he can't play with them because he's trying to be PG. I think that's where he got a lot of backlash for that.
Yeah.
But I totally understand that move, going PG. If you're running into fans like that, and just in general, a business decision, like, Fortnite is primarily driven by kids, really young kids.
Yeah, you know I mean? Feel like I could, as a business decision, I 100% could respect
this is
that,
a funny comparison, but it's like rule one. It's like, you know, are you guys going to tell the man to keep rule one-ing instead of going to play with Drake and Travis Scott and have him say whatever the fuck you want on your stream? Or are you going to tell this man to keep rule one-ing and just, like, not grow his stream and not become a multimillionaire and not become a worldwide sensation on all platforms? You know, it's like, screw the rule one, bro. I'm trying to get paid out here. So that's the ninja mentality.
Mm-hmm. And I hate that people, like, I hate that people say he, like, oh, like, Ninja changed. Because, you know, like I was saying, I've known Ninja for a pretty long time.
Wait, like, please, address him by the Blev, please.
The Blev.
You've known the Blev for a long time.
Richard Tyler Ninja
Blev. And, you know, I've known him for a while. We're not, like, super good homies or anything. But, you know, we have a lot of mutual friends. We've played some games together in our past. And, like, dude, to say the Ninja has changed is, like, kind of, like, right, obviously, like, his lifestyle has changed. He makes a ton more money. He's very successful. So, of course, he's going to grow and change a little bit as a human. Mm-hmm. But, like, at his core, bro, he is the same. He was always this very, like, over the top, like, ragey. He'll talk that shit. Like, bro, he's the same, man. Like, he has not changed as much as people want to be like, oh, dude, like, Ninja, you changed, bro. Like, if you have something people always try to use in, like, a negative context, like, talk about people that have found success. And I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Gotta respect it.
Yeah, I mean, Ninja kind of, like, I mean, I think he changed a little bit in the sense that he became more PG, but aside from that, he still is kind of the same. Like, even his late night streams are, like, back to normal. He just, like, goes and, like, curses everyone and just, like, messes around. And it's like, that's what gaming is all about.
That's what gaming's all about.
It really is. That really is. You know, this is a side thing, but you know how Dr. Lupo got famous? He literally, like, threw a nade at Ninja, and Ninja, like, saw the clip, saw the death cam, and was like, oh, that nade was insane. And then just, like, talked to Dr. Lupo, and that's it. They became friends. I'm pretty sure that's literally how Dr. Lupo was made. That's literally what I heard. That word for word, that's what Rogue told me. Rogue was like, all it took was some luck for Dr. Lupo, and he became famous. That's what they told me. And, like, they showed me
that's arguably for literally anyone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Twitch.
Speaking of something like that, that was like myth when he won V1 Summit. Someone always says, I made your career myth.
I mean, that's another scenario. I actually feel like that clip kind of popularized myth a lot in the beginning. Like, no one would have heard about Myth if it wasn't for someone being like, wow, this kid's cracked. Like, you know, he played really well against me. Yeah. So, I think that kind of covered everything.
That covers it.
Yeah. I think the last thing I want to just end off with is, you know, what do you guys do for Thanksgiving? You know, how's your guys' Thanksgiving going to go? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, I don't know, bro. I'm over here in Vegas. The family's all in Ohio still. With COVID and everything happening in Ohio, Ohio's going crazy right now with all that stuff. So I don't plan on making a trip home, unfortunately. You know, I'd like to see the fam and some friends, but I mean, there's just too much going on right now.
Yeah.
You know? Just gonna hold it down, probably be streaming throughout the holiday, just chilling, you know.
You could drive up to San Diego if you want, you know, nice little feast with the family.
San Diego.
Yeah, come over with the fam. We'll treat you nice, Chad, you know.
Oh, maybe I'll hop down, bro. That's a quick little drive.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. I'll make you some nice turkey, baby. Don't worry.
Come through.
What was she doing, Rizzo? Was she making any food? Either you guys making any food?
I'm not making anything. I don't cook. But we're gonna have I didn't even know this. You could basically order a Thanksgiving meal.
From where?
Like, you can just do that now. The Boston Market.
Oh! Dude! I called it! Oh my god, yeah. I called it!
I don't think we were gonna do anything, but my dad was like, listen, I'm gonna buy you guys like Thanksgiving stuff, so.
Hey, Boston Market! Hey, kind of the flame! I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of the flame.
I've never had anything like that, so.
It's kind of the flame. Sponsor the podcast. We love your food. We would eat some delicious food on the podcast and talk all about it, you know, if you want to send us some. You know,
hey, give me your cornbread. Hey, throw me a couple pounds of your cornbread. Hey, we're good, dog. You know? So, good to hear you. I'm making some, like, scalloped potatoes for Thanksgiving. You know, I always cook something for the fam. I either do dessert or I do, like, a dish. I think I'm going to do scalloped potatoes this year.
Do you guys usually do, like, a whole extended family thing or just kind of, like, you guys at the house?
We always do extended family, but not this year. This year we're just doing, like, you know, the Corona swag a little too scary right now. You know, you don't want to deal with all that swag.
why do you keep saying it like that?
Swag.
Why don't you just say it's something
like swag, bro?
I just wanted to get it out there, you know. All right, well, I think that's about it for the biz, guys. You know, that's a wrap.
I mean, were we going to talk about content houses at all, or is that
next week? Where's that?
That's for next week. We talk about some content houses.
Oh, I see. Where's that? Okay. I mean,
we can do that. No, we don't have anything there.
Give them a little taste. You know,
didn't we already talk about that with Avery? Avery kind of was in a content house.
True. Yeah, we can get him back on.
Yeah.
the do's, but mainly the don'ts of content houses with Avery.
Yes. 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 All right. Well, that's the biz, chat.
That's the biz.
Thank you, Evan, for listening on Apple and Spotify. Make sure to leave a review if you enjoyed the podcast. You know, everyone listening on YouTube, make sure to drop a like, subscribe. Everyone on Twitch, you know, follow to watch the podcast. We'll be live every Monday at 9:30 Eastern time.
Where are we live at?
Twitch.tv/Sizz. We're live. Twitch.tv/Sliv. We're live.
Sizz.
Sizz.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yes. All right. That's about it. We appreciate everyone coming by. And, you know, see you guys next time. I'll do a shot for the stream to end it. You know, I'll go full face cam shot.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, Chad. You told me to get a drink, and after I literally started feeling tipsy like 30 minutes ago. And I was like, oh shit. So I was kicking in, you know?
I've been waiting to go get another one.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Let's start some music. Let's play some Isaac at Fixation. You know, let's chill.
Oh, yeah.
Fixate. We always got to end it on the Fixation. We actually really got to get Isaac to make us a song for the stream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd probably be pretty good.
He could produce our intro, outro song.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh, they actually gave me a leaving suit, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Hey.
I'll do a shot, though, anyway. This is just like water here. I'm going to drink this. If I take this here, it'll reinforce. Only
fake people can reinforce because I hate myself and they all support. I see. Okay. It's a rock. Not the
boys.
Not sponsored. Hit us up, man. You know?
Hey, not sponsored, but you know, I'm just saying my dad has his own tequila. If you want to buy my dad's tequila, missionliquor.com. Buy my dad's tequila. You know what I'm saying?
Or he's providing whatever you want now?
I can't see no free I got promo.
No free promo, dude. Slowing my pace at a faster rate. This life by
yeah. hand, and I'm saying, oh, wait. I knew this shit would make me feel so like I visually cringe watching you drink that.
That was kind of nice. That was kind of nice. My bad. Maybe I should go back to the
pad. Maybe I smoke too much with a pass. All right, boys. Maybe I'm stuck in a thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. Love you guys.
See you in the next one.
See you next time. Bye.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.